Today's scripture reading will be found in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 to 31. So again, that is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 to 31. Verse 20. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshkol and explored it. Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say, the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And today's sermon is From Fear to Faith by missionary Pert Kampfis.
Let's continue worshiping the Lord with prayer. So I ask you to join me as I lead you in praying to our Father in heaven. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, today's speaker is no stranger to us. He's a good friend of all of us here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. Our church is very privileged to be able to partner with him through the years in international student ministry. And this morning, he comes to us again, bringing to us the Word of God. And so, Bert, it's all yours.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. God bless. Yes.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. And I come here, of course, more often than once a year, but it's a year ago that I was speaking here. And come during the week of Missions Fest, which is going on right now, where thousands of people come to hear what God is doing around the world. And this theme this year is His Story Revealed, celebrating the growth of the global church. We got the author of Operation World, a book that I gave your church last year. That speaker is here this year, and as well as Louis Palau, who's going to give the closing message at 2:30. One of the great evangelists of the world, born in Argentina, speaks Spanish and English, and has probably, next to Billy Graham, has probably impacted the world for Christ. So if there's any chance that you can go and get into some of those booths and seminars and also listen to him, I know he'll make an appeal this afternoon. So pray for Missions Fest. We had a workshop yesterday, which ourselves, ISMC, and our topic was the strategic ministry to impact the global church through international students. And we had a very good turnout, and not a lot of people there were really wanting to get more involved in this ministry. Last year, we were not at UBC. This year, we're at UBC because God provided another worker and his family to help pioneer that work, and it's going very well. In fact, one of the main converts of that program happened on July the 1st, where he just arrived in Canada from mainland China. Communist Party member, part of an architectural engineer firm that's building in Vancouver, building at UBC. So he was sent by his Beijing company to come here. And he just heard that his friend had attended a social and was climbing some mountains in Squamish and had a really great time. He says, well, why didn't you take me? I want to go on that next one. So the next one he went, and then he found out they have a club that studied the Bible. He said, well, I'm a Communist Party member. Why would I do that? But I want to learn English, and I want to make friends. And so he did that. He came, found out that, so he started studying the Bible. In fact, he's read the whole Bible, except for the four minor prophets, the last old part of the Old Testament. And he gave his life to Christ. And he has shared his testimony several times. Would love you to meet this guy, because he's just now, his company in China wants to know what happens to their people when they go to Canada. So he said, I'll send you my story. So they send the story, and they have a magazine that goes out to 2,000 engineers of their company, and they're going to publish his story. And they said, but we have to change your name, because that would be kind of risky. Put your name in there. So he said, what name do you want yourself to be called? He says, I'm Moses. And so that's great. So Moses is publishing his story. It's going out to China with 2,000 engineers, sharing his testimony, how God saved him. And he had to write. Yeah, it was just an amazing story. I've heard him speak. So there is just some of the ways that God is touching people. It's great to see some internationals here this morning helping with worship and attending. And so that's really encouraging. I was so touched by this morning's songs as well. Thanks, Agnes and others that have put those songs together. Your grace is enough. This has been one of the horrendous weeks that I've had. Last year, I just had a little thing like a problem with my knee. I had a new knee. So now I got a new knee that will last 25 years. And it's brand new, and I can keep up to international students. But I'm an old guy, 68 this year, so another problem. I have four brothers and one sister. They're all younger than I am. And suddenly last week, my youngest brother passed away, 57 years old. And so last Sunday, I was flying to Grand Prairie, Alberta, and then taking a car for 3 hours to a place called Bear Canyon. Probably never heard of it. It's between Fort St. John and Fairview. You can't find anything there except farmers, and you have to travel miles to see anybody. But there is a Bear Canyon Community Center, and it was built by my youngest brother. And his funeral was held there just last Monday. And so I needed that song, Your Grace is Enough, especially his wife and kids, seven grandkids, two kids that live in the area. The place was packed with over 300 people. Most of them were non-Christians that were hearing and impacted by his life. He had built many places. He built many people's houses there, and he was a farmer. So that was something that I didn't expect for the new year. But, you know, his grace was enough. God loved nature. He loved bears. He had many bear stories. And the whole community came together for that celebration, many non-Christians. And that when the casket went on the ground, the grandkids put deer antlers on the casket. And then at nighttime at their place, he wanted fireworks, and there was fireworks. And that's how we ended the place, a celebration, because we knew he was with God. Then Wednesday, I was back here, Tuesday back here, and Wednesday in the hospital for another operation. And I thought on Thursday, I would not make it to this church. I would not make it to Missions Fest. But I'm here this morning. Their grace is enough. God's grace is enough. Greater, and then that great song, greater things has to be done in this city. I came here to see God work in this city, to see God work with the international students, and I knew nobody. Really, I knew this church, and they prayed for me for years, over 10 years, but in Kamloops and so on, but I knew really very few people, knew no students, and we had no workers. Today, the first guy that really responded to the challenge was Angus Chan from your church, and he'll share at the end of the service a little update with us what God is doing. But now we have a team and churches that are partnering with us to reach the 40,000-45,000 international students in this city. And so I'm so blessed to be part of that team. I'm so blessed to see what God is doing. But greater things have yet to be done. And to hear the stories yesterday in that seminar, how internationals are impacting the world for Christ. And you are impacting that because you're part of that. You're part of that through your prayers, your gifts, and help with us. So this morning, I do have a message that I want to share going, and I think it's a good one for the new year, because we have entered a new year, almost 1 month has passed, going from fear to faith. And so that's my message this morning. And so if you have, I guess there will be a PowerPoint in the background about these verses that we share this morning. But let me start. I think it's the people that are living in this world, as we started in January, are wondering what's happening in this world. I think people without God, they're full of fears. You think of what's happened in Africa recently and the other countries of the world, even in our own society. What's going to happen to the United States, the economy, and so on. Fears of the future, fears of what's going to happen to my job or what's going to happen to me. We don't know. Students have fears about if they would even get a job. Fear is a scientific fact. Practically every aspect of our life has a corresponding fear that someone has discovered. People have fear of flying. People have fear of dying. People have fear of writing exams. How many have fear of writing exams? Just be honest. You should already be raising your hands. Some people have fear of driving. So I had fear of coming to Vancouver. David Jeremiah, a great speaker and author, says fear is one of the giants, one of the great giants in our society. Ann Landers, who was a famous columnist, received 10,000 letters a month. She said the main theme of all these letters she received was fear. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. It starts with Genesis and with Adam. When he disobeyed God, the first thing he did was hide because he was afraid. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, God tells John not to be afraid when he saw all the things happening for the future. The first king of Israel, Saul, was paralyzed because of the giant Goliath. The disciples of Jesus seemed constantly be fearful. So Christians had that problem of fear as well. Someone counted the fear knots in the Bible, and they found there were 365, one for every day of the year. So if we're going to do God's work, we're going to advance His kingdom, we must grow from fear to faith. If we want to grow spiritually this year, we must deal with our fears. What are some of your fears? You can list them. Don't say that you don't have any fears, because I have a place in my Bible to sign. It's for hypocrites and people who are liars. So you have some fears this morning. Maybe you have fears. I had a great fear when I grew up of my father. I would never ask my father for anything. I always go to my mother. She was like Jesus, the mediator, kind of. But I had a great fear of my father. He was like a military dictator in our house. But what does fear do? We just read that passage in the Bible. You know, I have 5 points there of what fear does. Number one, fear disregards God's plan. What was God's plan for these people of Israel? It was to take them from Egypt to the promised land. He says, God says, I will give you the land. And they said, really? We don't think so. And they disregarded God's plan. It really, if we have fear, we will not accomplish God's plan. Not for your life and not His plan for the world. Fear, so God has given you the land. But that was their God's plan. God, fear also distorts God's purposes. What are these people saying? They're saying, oh, the Lord hates us. The Lord has taken us here to destroy us. That wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose was to bless His people, to use His people. And it distorted God's purposes totally, and distorts their perspective, because they were saying their walls reached to the sky. Their walls did not reach to the sky. They say we are just like grasshoppers. God, fear discourages God's people. There were 10 spies, 12 spies, but 10 of them went out and they came back and spread the message of fear. They said, we can't really go there because these people are giants and we can't really do this. So fear, this discourages God's people. It's like a cancer. It's like a disease. It's like a virus. And it just takes over. And everybody, and so hundreds and thousands of people there listening to this 10 spies by the morning, they were not ready to follow God's plan. And so everybody was discouraged. Fear disbelieves God's promises. God, at least in this passage, there are five promises. Not to be afraid, not to be terrified. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to go with you. God gave those promises, but they didn't believe them. God, fear also disbelieves God's principles. What are the principles of, well, the principle of obeying God, about following God, doing His will. Fear disobeys God's principles, so disobedience came in. You're not glorifying God. You're not doing His will. You're missing out on God's plan. I wonder, I heard once when I was a young person that 90% of God's people were living outside of God's will. 90%. Wow. I don't know. But you know, there's a lot of people that are out of God's will because why aren't we seeing God work in a greater way in our own society, in our own city? Why aren't we? Because we're disobeying God's principles. And so fear can paralyze us. And fear could have stopped me from going to India when I looked at that truck that I was going to drive from Belgium to India, 10,000 kilometers. It was a $100 truck they got from the scrapyard. Well, I could have just been gripped by fear. And then fear could have stopped me from marriage. I was getting married with $10 in my pocket. What Chinese person will get married with $10 in their pocket? Talk to Andy. I'm sure he had more than 10 bucks, you know, or some other person. But I'm sure, no, they want a house, they want a car, they want a job before they will get married. What stupid guy will go be in mission field and have no finances and $10 in his pocket and get married? That's what I did. Fear could have stopped me from going into the prisons. I went into the prisons to visit murderers and drug addicts and alcoholics for 10 years. And I invited them to my house and to my church. They were sitting right on the front row. Wow. Fear could have stopped me from going into the prisons. Fear could have stopped me from working with international students because I had never even been to university. And I, you know, these people, they speak Chinese. I don't speak Chinese. And they know how to run computers and computer science. I don't even know how to turn one on when I started working with international. Now my son forced me into the iPad. So now, fortunately, I can do emails, finally, and Facebook. So some people now say I'm high tech. So fear could have stopped me from moving into Vancouver because how could I afford a place from Kamloops to Vancouver? And so every time I bring students there, I remind them that my beautiful house and yard cost me $350 a month rent when most of them are paying $500 or more. And they can't believe it. I said, God did it. But fear could have stopped me. When God calls out, fear not, He recognizes the reality of fear. Yet He calls us to a fear-free way of life. By applying these five action verbs of faith, we can answer God's call to move from fear to faith. And so we have five action words. The first one is F. What does that mean? It means focus. Ah, we call our club focus. So you can remember that one. Focus, but what are we focusing on? We're focusing on God's supreme desire and not our own wants. We're focusing on the characteristics of God. The world and Satan want you to focus on your doubts and your fears and your limitations. The world wants you to focus on your comforts. But the ten spies came back and said, we're just like grasshoppers. God wants you to focus on His unlimited power, His will to reach the nations, His desire that no one should perish, His plan to use you to extend His kingdom. You know what we're doing this year? We're going to take a team of international students and go on a trip to Alberta and to about 8 or 9 cities, to Edmonton and Calgary. And we're going to sing and pray and use our testify how God is using international students. That happens at the end of April 25th to May the 5th. How are we going to do this? Well, we need about $6,000 or $7,000 to rent a van, transportation. But we have the team. Most of the team are already signed up. They want to go, and they're helping to trust God for this trip and to impact these other cities for Christ. And that allow people to see that God can use international students. Pray for that. Angus is part of that team. And there's a couple of others here this morning that's going to be part of that team. So pray that God would use us and we would accomplish His will for His glory. Focus. Focus on what God wants us to do. He wants to use you to extend His kingdom. It's better to fear God than man. The fear of man will ensnare us, the Bible says. But it's better to fear God than man, Acts 5:29. Second word to focus on is ask. Ask. Sometimes our fears are connected to a sense of guilt because of some sin. Like Adam and Eve, they had this guilt, which resulted in fear. Ask God what act of disobedience or sin has separated you from a close relationship with God. If there is sin between you and God, we need to humbly confess it. And then we can be assured of His forgiveness. Truly, I had sins in my life. Lack of faith. Not really believing that people were lost. So I had to deal with these. And I had to ask God to show me. And so God will show you when you ask. And He'll pinpoint the things that you need to overcome. Then the third word is identify. Our identity has the power to dictate our direction in life. What is feeding your identity? If you're told that you're weak and worthless and stupid, then you'll believe it and you'll face life's challenges with fear. If you feel like a failure, fears will control your actions. Aaron and Peter and Jeremiah in the Bible, they all have this kind of feelings. God has to remind us over and over again that it's His view of us that really counts. According to Him, we are special, we're secure, we're loved. We're blessed and we're conquerors through Him. God's view is what counts. And according to Him, no matter what happens, we're on the winning side. When I saw the death of my youngest brother and the funeral there, I said, God is even more glorified with His death and His life and how He impacted this community. Some of those non-believers were so touched, they couldn't even, one of them was supposed to speak about, and he couldn't even get up and talk because he was so. And so people were affected, and they were told that this guy had a faith in Christ. People were affected. And so God sometimes does that. So God's, no matter what happens, we're on the winning side. This will take care of a lot of fears. The fourth word to think about is trust. Trust in God's promises. You know how many promises somebody counted once in the Bible? 8,000 specific promises. Yes, I know God's promises are there, but that's for somebody else. Not for me. Not for me. My situation is different. No, then really you're choosing fear over faith. This God of the universe, this God who holds the heavens and the earth in His hand, when we follow His will, when we desire to obey Him, He promises His protection. He promises His provisions. He promises His power. He promises His presence. I sense the presence of God this week in my life. Going from all the way in northern Alberta for the funeral and going into the hospital this week and going to Missions Fest, I sense the presence of God and the power of God. I sense that because I was in His will. So He took care of me going to India. He took care of me finding a wife and leading me to Vancouver and giving me a team of partnerships with churches that I could never have imagined and people who are responding to God's call. He will continue to provide for me. And so I have to put these fears aside and claim these promises that God has given to us. Now the last word that we just mentioned, help. Help. How many of you need that word once in a while? It's the last. Yeah. Matthew 14:30, there's a story of Peter in the boat seeing Jesus walking on the water. And he says, wow, that's exciting. Hell, you know, Jesus, I want to come to you. And Jesus said, come and walk. So Peter was walking away, and suddenly he saw the waves, and suddenly he saw the storm, and he saw the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. And all he could do was just say, help, help. And Jesus, what does Jesus do? He listens and he saves him, pulls him back up, and then he goes and walks again. God loves to hear our cry for help. God wants to accomplish the impossible because He's the God of the impossible. There's nothing too big for Him to do. Because He's the Almighty, Almighty God. And so as we close this morning, John Ortberg has a great little book called If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. Do you want to walk on the water? I want to do some walking. I want to see God do greater things in the city. But it takes us listening to God, obeying God's voice. Angus is just going to close the service with a little bit of an update and show you some slides of what God is doing in the city. Coming close.